Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Marty, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and I'm a grateful 100 pounder, and I'm really glad to be here this morning. Yeah, I didn't realize this is such a big meeting. I'm a little nervous, but I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm really happy to see some familiar faces, some friends in program, and it's nice to see that when you go to a meeting and you run into someone that you meet in these virtual rooms, but it's also people that I really respect and how they work their programs, and because I see them, when you get to be in program for a while, you kind of appreciate what other people are doing to change their lives and to give service, and I see some really dedicated people in this room, and it's always inspiring for me. This month marks 2 years that I've been in program, and so I'm feeling pretty good. I don't like to talk about they always say you share your before, and then you kind of get into how you worked your program and where you're to now. But I don't usually like to talk too much about the before part, because I kind of am all about my past doesn't define me anymore. But I'm going to show you guys a picture of where I started. I guess I can screen share. Let's have a look. So that was me 100 pounds ago. And I was close to 300 pounds. And I came, actually, I was right here. I do pottery. I do a lot of pottery up here in Labrador. I'm in Labrador, Canada. And yeah, we got snow on the ground up here already. And winter is coming. But anyway, I started and I was right here, this in this very pottery studio. This is where I went to my first meeting. And I was really desperate. I was in a hard spot. I was lonely. I was isolated. I was hurting myself with food and alcohol. And I needed help. I'm going to stop this share and I'm going to get into a little bit about how I, what brought me to OA. Quickly, and I might say this a little quick, and it's not to discredit or just pass over. It's just that I really don't like to deal, like, I don't like to focus too much on a lot of my past stuff, but it doesn't take away from the seriousness of it. I acknowledge it. But I've done a lot of work in this program to get past these things. Grew up in an alcoholic home. My father was not just an alcoholic, he was a rageaholic. So there was the fear that went along with that as a child. There was the walking on eggshells. There was, like, I don't have any good memories of my father from my childhood. I just remember his finger in my face and the yelling I ate was the only thing I could do to numb those feelings, I guess. And I also think being an obese child, I had this protective layer of fat, which kind of shielded me, I guess. I think that was a part of it as well. But I did grow up and made it out of the house, and I got married, had three kids, and my wife at the time, she left and she wanted a different life. But she didn't just leave me. She left the kids as well. So I ended up raising my three teenagers through those years. And it was hard. It was hard being a single dad. There was not a lot of people around here where I live that were that had sole custody of their kids. But my wife at the time had chosen a lifestyle that was pretty rough and wasn't really suitable for kids to be around. So that's the way it went. And I did the best I could. I loved them as much as I could, but it was hard. They had some mental health issues. I have one kid that's trans gendered, which is not really linked to the mental health stuff, but it was a complicated process as a single dad. And my youngest son's gay, and that's all fine. It's all great, like, you know what I mean? Like, I love those kids, as much as I could. But it was just in a small mining town where I live, it was just tricky. So, and I ate a lot and I drank a lot, because I just didn't know any other tools. I did get married again to a beautiful woman named Jen, and she was a mom to my kids, and I lost her to cancer, sadly. But that was about 4 years ago. So there was that. So there was a bunch of stuff, guys, that was hard. And we all got hard stuff. We all got our own traumas and hardships that we dealt with, probably with food. This one seems like a commonality between a lot of us. So I just didn't have any skills. I just didn't have any tools in my toolbox, you know. But you know, I say that I was done with my higher power. I didn't have any time for God. But I say now that God wasn't done with me because I ended up finding my way to OA. And I also say that I didn't realize the problem I had until I found the solution. And the solution is OA. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. He's a doctor here. And I was telling him that I had tried every diet. And he had referred, tell me about this book about plant-based eating and all this kind of stuff. And I tried it all. And I told him about nothing work. And I said, I just can't seem to shake. And he said, you might need to try OA. And I was like, I thought OA was for people that were like 600 or 700 pounds. You know, like I had heard of it, but I didn't think it was for me, right? So I reached out to a friend of mine that was in another program, and she put me on to the local group here in Newfoundland and Labrador, where I live. And I got onto my first online meeting. And I went into the rooms, guys, and it just floored me. Because I heard the people speak, and I said, and we've all heard this before, they're just like me. And then there was the big feeling of, I'm not alone anymore. So I got out of that meeting and I got really emotional. I did. Because I had that first glimmer of hope. I said for a lot of years, well, not a lot of years, for a lot of months, only been in the program a couple of years. Anyway, I said for a lot of months that OA is in the business of hope. And I really do believe that because we come into the rooms and we see other people. I'm looking around this room right now and I see a whole lot of people that are all trying to make themselves a bit better, have a bit better lives. And they're all grabbing onto this program, just like I did. And it gives us hope. And hope is a powerful thing because it gives us that little thought, that little spark in our minds that we can change, that things can improve. And things have changed a lot for me over the past couple of years that I've been in program. I've been abstinent. Oh, this is my month anniversary. I got 22 months of abstinence today. I just realized I looked at the little date down there. So anyway, yeah, thanks guys. So 22 months. So let's see. So I started going to the meetings. I was still in the food. I started to learn, and I started to learn what compulsive food behaviors were all about, obsessive food thoughts. I didn't know anything about my disease. I just was suffering. I was in complete denial. I thought I was a stress eater. That's what I thought. You know, I started to learn, and then I started to do the things and make the phone calls and go to more meetings. And I was wrapping my head around the program, and I was slowly getting my wheels under me, my program wheels, where I was moving forward. And I called this man. He was an older gentleman, lives down in the States. And I said, I like what you had to say. And he was like, are you looking for a sponsor? And I said, I think I am. And this was on December 27th. This was a couple of years ago. And he said, you know, I follow the 90-day format of OA, but I love all of OA and all of OA works. It's all great. It's just that I weigh and measure my food. And anyways, so I was going to go out and get the scale and try this. this program, the meal plan with the sponsor. And I said, I'd like to start on New Year's Day. That's what I told him. And he said, well, he said, if you're ready to start on New Year's Day, you're probably ready to start tomorrow. So here I was in the middle of Christmas, and I was in the middle of all the food and alcohol. But I said, I'll give it a try. And I did it, and it was hard. It was hard. I crashed. The first week, I could hardly get out of bed, all the stuff, you guys know. But you know what? I was trying it, and I got a day's worth of abstinence. And then I got another day, and then I got another day. And then I think it was 5 days in. Well, I guess it would have been on the 2nd of January. That's when I didn't read the label on this tea bag, and I had sugar. And I told my sponsor, and he said, we got to reset your abstinence date. And I was like, oh my God, this has been so hard. But I didn't go off the rails. I just kept holding on. So yeah, okay. So there was that, and I was off and running. And a little while after that, I was still doing a lot of meetings. I do a lot of meetings, guys, because to me, when I do the meetings, it's like I get to hear everyone else's strength, hope, and wisdom, and I feel that my higher power speaks to me through your voices, you know, through the voices in the room. That's one of the ways that my higher power communicates with me. So I was doing all this stuff. I was working the steps. And I was learning about abstinence, and I think I'd like to share a little bit about that. Basically, my abstinence became something different. And that, besides my food plan, my abstinence became like a vibe. It was like a way of thinking. It was like a way of being. It was like acting abstinently. It wasn't just about my food anymore. It was about being kind. It was about bringing my higher power into my conversations. And I really kind of hung on to that concept. And then I learned another concept. I think it was at one of the virtual intergroup, conferences. There was a lady there talking about the concept of entire abstinence. And she said, if you're a compulsive eater and you're not being compulsive with your food, well, where are you being compulsive in your life? Are you being compulsive with spending? Are you being compulsive with technology? Are you being compulsive in your relationship? And I was like, wow, that kind of blew my mind. I said, you know, what do we do, you know, to try to be entirely abstinent? And she said that the secret was in the pause. It was in recognizing when you're starting to act compulsively, pausing, connecting with your higher power, and that's when you can kind of arrest that behavior. That was a woman that said that, and I think I got to do a little shout out for the women during my talk, because I just want to say I've learned so much. I've become a different man in these rooms. And I've kind of changed how I feel about what it is to be a man in the world, but it's because of how I am a man in program. Now, I've learned a lot from the men in the rooms as well, but I think today's man is aware of his emotions. I think he has good boundaries, whereby he can not just not let people take things from him, also be able to express himself in a good way. And I think today's man is sensitive, and I'm going to say feminine, the feminine, but because sensitivity is usually not the stereotypical way a man should act, you know, what you think about it, the macho thing. And I think that's a well-rounded man, and I think that's a good way to be. And that's the kind of man that I try to be. And I would never have been able to be the person that I am today if it wasn't for the women that's in these rooms. Because you guys have taught me a lot about how I want to exist in this world. So thank you, even though I don't really know a lot of you guys individually. So I ended up going to a lot of these OA meetings that are called creative reprieve because I do a lot of ceramic art.
5 minutes, Marty.
Thank you, Carol. So, and I really fell in love with those meetings. A really nice group of people. And I started to learn about manifesting because I think what happens is in OA, with the idea of hope, it sets us up to be open to the possibility that things could get better for us. And that's actually like a really nice condition or setup for being able to manifest things into your life. So you guys heard of a vision board where you want to attract things to your life and you make a vision board? Well, I made a vision vase. And so I'll show you guys. So basically, I just, it's a vase. And I took stuff like that's my little pottery business that I got. And this is some program stuff, higher power, praying hands, you know, the literature. Travel is one of the things. My big house, I'm doing a lot of stuff in my big house. And then I got that big love and a heart. And I got a tiny house and a motorcycle. And so it's just something that I was making in the creative pre-OA meetings. And I showed it to you guys today, and I know my time is winding down. It seems to be winding down really quickly, but it's I want to say that everything on that base is coming true. Everything. And the thing that's most important to me is that big love. Like I found my person. I found my forever person. And I'm very happy about it. She's actually here in Labrador visiting me right now. And my heart is very full. I think I'd like to say something about something else OA has brought into my life. It changed me. It changed me as in regards to being the man that I am today. But I'm growing and I've done a lot of work. I've done a lot of inner child work, which I don't have time to talk about right now, but you know, maybe another time. And the manifesting stuff. But what happened is with my work in the program and with the support of the fellowship and my sponsor, I started to love myself. And it's like it's an amazing thing what happens in this program when you transform from being that guy I was 100 pounds ago, sad and lonely and desperate, to being a new version of myself. I think a more authentic version of myself. And I started off with that little glimmer of hope. And now here I am, a person that I can honestly say that I'm a new man, and I love who I am. My self-worth is where it should be. It's where all of our self-worth should be. So now I say OA is in the business of self-love. Pretty amazing stuff what happens here in these rooms, guys. We are actually changing who we are, you know. So let's see. I think my time is winding down. So I think what I'll do is I'll say the thing that is a little thing I heard in the program that I do a lot every day, pretty much, when it comes to connecting with my higher power. And I'll leave you guys with this. If there's something that bothers me, if there's a defect of character that I'm working on, or maybe there's a work situation or a family situation, and I'm feeling resentment or fear, I want all you guys to think about something that might be happening in your own lives that might be kind of holding you back. And I want you to get ready to release it. Because what I've been doing, guys, is when I try to connect with my higher power, I do this thing where I breathe in my higher power, and then I breathe out whatever it is that I'm trying to release. Are you ready? I want everyone to come and take a nice big deep breath, and we're going to breathe in our higher powers. Ready? Go. And then release whatever it is that's on your mind. And I do that so often in my day, guys. And it's just like so easy to connect to my higher power today. And I'm really grateful for that. And I'm really grateful to be here with you guys today. Thanks, Janet, for asking me. And I guess with that, I'll finish up. Thanks, everybody.